So there's an interesting debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. We're familiar with the famous lines, to be or not to be, but this might be to be or not. The famous Gemara in Erev in Daf Yud Gimel, and they argued 2.5 years over it. And the debate was, is a Noach lo la'adam shenivra o shelo nivra? A very fitting topic for Rosh Hashanah. Every year, God has to review to see if he made the right decision or not. So maybe if he listened to Beis Shammai, he wouldn't have to worry. But the Beis Shammai's opinion was better not to be born than to be born. And Beis Hillel disagreed. So let's just focus on Beis Shammai for a second. What's the logic of Beis Shammai? Why? Because we're used to, we're brought up the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole life is an opportunity. It seems to go against everything we're taught, Beis Shammai. So what is this? What is the svara of Beis Shammai? What's Beis Shammai shita? So the Maharal explains, it's kind of like, I don't know if he gets this analogy, but I'll do it. It's like an investment. Let's take real estate. The stock market, you could pick your investment. Let's say someone, your stockbroker comes to you and says, you know what? I have an investment for you. So you'll say, what's the upside? 5%. What's the downside? About 90%. You might start looking for another stockbroker. Or say you go to your real estate agent. He tells you, you have a great price. So what's the downside? Downside's 10%. The upside's 90%. Oh, I'm in. So obviously, a prudent investment is you weigh the risk-reward and you make a decision. So Beis Shammai says we have 613 mitzvahs. We have, the tradition tells us, 365 negative and 248 positive. So the odds are against us. We have three, I don't know what the percent is, but we have 365, not technically, because a lot of the stuff does is in Nogea today, but in theory, we have 365 chances to mess up and 248 chances of opportunity. So the odds are against us. So Beis Shammai seems to have a, you know, a strong argument. So in fact, that's why after 2.5 years, he seems to have won the argument. At least, it's a strange Russian. Nimnu v'gamru. They saw they had the majority. They saw the majority. They sent Beis Hillel home for the day and they voted and they got it passed. Which is interesting, I'm saying like, it's not like it's halacha glamaisa question anyway. It's interesting, what do you mean you paskin? It's not a psak. Anyway, yeah, so nimnu, that's when maybe it's nimnu v'gamru. So then Gemara says, so what do we do then? So the bottom line, we are born. So you fast b'maisa and do tshuva. So what do? We have to do tshuva. So what's the Beis Hillel argument? What's our argument for being here? What does Beis Hillel mean? Noach ola adam. So that's what the Mefarshim point out, is because the famous Gemara in Yuma regarding the power of tshuva. How great is tshuva? So there seems to be an apparent contradiction. I think it's the name of Resh Lakish, but there might be someone else. They quote him saying, on one hand, how great is tshuva? It can level the playing field. You could go back clean slate, you could start fresh. And the other quote from him is, no, it's much more than that. Your averis becomes zechuyos, your mistakes become mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, which one is it? It's an apparent contradiction. The Gemara says, it depends if we're talking about tshuva me'ava, a tshuva me'yira. A tshuva me'yira, that balances the playing field. A tshuva me'ava, that takes the schuyas and turns it into mitzvahs. And in fact, that's the same concept we have in halacha regarding bittul. I think it's a concept, achari rabba mahatos, bittul barov. So let's say a person they bought two kosher hamburgers, you could pick the store. Mocha burger, Amsterdam burger. I can show you a good picture my daughter sent me of a nice burger with the fried onions on top and a burger from McDonald's or some other place. The bottom line is two two burgers are kosher, one's treif, and they got mixed in together. You know, and you don't see the classical mixture is it's liquid, it's all one thing. But we assume la halacha, we view it as one, but it's not a technical. They're separate, but we view them together. So that's it. The Rush goes so far as to say you can eat them all, but vas achas. You can make a triple. And we know we pass them like the Rashba. There are others who say you can't, you only can eat two out of three. But we pass them like the Rashba. You can eat all three, but only zeh achazeh, or maybe like two at a time, and then, because you have to at least be told it that it was the other one, not that one. So either way, so what's the pshah? We assume, how could you eat all three, or how could you, because we assume bitul barov is, as Rav Chaim explains in the stencils, that basically the rov, the miyat disappears. It's kamisha eno. Obviously, how could I eat all three? It's treif. No, it's no longer treif. Yeah. As B'nai Yisachar, as I like quoting the B'nai Yisachar, he used to say, what happens if some, you know, you call up, they're called the rabbi, what, some milk fell into my chicken soup. So you go to, okay, it's mutter. So they say, well, would you eat it? So I'd say, yeah, well, I would. It depends how it tastes, but if it's from kosher, I would eat it. And then I usually quote them, the B'nai Yisachar said, you should make a kiddush and give it out to the whole community. There's no higher madrega of iser and nefach laheter. And that's what tshuva meyave is. That's what we assume. It's 613 opportunities. Because even when we do something wrong, the first time, or the second, third, or fourth, when we do a tshuva meyave, we could turn all the averas into sussum. So therefore, that's why once we're here, with the power of tshuva. Which leads us to the minhag Yisrael. It's not that Uncle Maishi isn't the first one who developed dipping the apple in the honey or the challah in the honey. It actually goes back to the 13th century. I believe the Torah brings down the minhag Ashkenaz about dipping apples in the honey. So we have to understand honey, what's this about honey on Rosh Hashanah, why apples? And as we might, once we're on it, what about salt? Where does salt fit in the night of Rosh Hashanah? Do we do a popcorn, salt, and sweet? We go for the full, a pikabola, some do both. Or do we get rid of the salt? How does it fit in? Sweet and savory? Is that what?
Popcorn that has to be, it's that sweet
popcorn. Yeah, so they point out, so what is the concept of honey versus salt? So that's what we have a halacha that on every karban there has to be salt, and we have a principle. Chazal tell us shulchano shel adam is like the mizbeach. Today we don't have a mizbeach, so our table plays through. That's why there's how. Speaking of minhagim, that's why there's a minhag of not having a knife on the table. B'shas, I'm getting an oyim and hug him now. If there's a minhag of not having a knife on your table, b'shas birkas hamazon. Because why? Because if the mizbeach, so the different reasons brought down. One is there's a ma'aseh shehayah where someone stabbed himself and they either hurt themselves, killed themselves. I forgot, you had a good, you told me something on the walk home about, something about Gedalia or something?
Yeah.
Ulai, perhaps it was that's how Gedalia was killed? Or it happened? Yeah. Okay, so we'll forget about the Gedalia thing for now. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So the Maisa happened. Well, the other reason they brought down is it's the Shulchan Osho Adam, the tints on the Mizbeach, we don't have meadow, was Mizbeach Marichin Lo Yamav. Meadow is makatiyam. And there's a further debate: does the minhag apply on Shabbos and Yontif or not? So that, you know, so different minhagim in terms of that. And in fact, that's what's also the halacha based on about walking in with weapons into shul. Asak and Magula. That's also a discussion about walking in with weapons on Shabbos and Yontif. So that's the concept of salt. The salt is like magi. Like the Medrash says, when you can't talk, everyone's washing. The salt on the table is like protecting you. So Rav Shimshon Falhirsch, what's the main yisod of salt? Salt basically serves as a preservative. And a preservative, if something's spoiled, it's not going to help you. But if some, before the days of refrigerator and freezers, that's how you used to keep things. So therefore, salt was the ultimate preservative. In contrast to honey, Chazal tells us, the Gemara tells us, that honey has a unique quality. That, because the Gemara says you could buy honey from a non-Jew. I'm only afraid he's going to put treif in there. So Gemara says, no. We're not, it's not a, maybe he will or maybe he won't. Or even if he does, but we have a, even if he dropped a couple pieces in the valen, we don't care because the honey has the power to totally transform it. And I'm assuming besides the regular din of bittul, like if it's less than 60 times, then what's the chiddush? But even perhaps more, whatever the details are. But honey somehow some. Honey has the power, it says, that it transforms. So either way, whichever the halachic parameters are, we'll get to more in a minute. So therefore, it's like the meat no longer exists. And in fact, that's why, so the power of honey is, it's the power to transform something and change it. So therefore, so the different menhagim, as I said, do you put salt on the, in the challah, or you get rid of it. So follow whatever your minig is. But the stipor and the chazan ish were against honey. So I could give you a different shear on why to put salt and honey together, but it's not today or tonight's shear. We'll focus on the shear honey and no salt. So what's the why was the chazan ish and stipor dafka no salt? Because all year round we want to show a kaddish baruch hu. We're following the mesorah. We're keeping the tradition. We're preserving everything. But come Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin, you know, we're the same as always. No, we want to show God on Rosh Hashanah. We're actually changing. We want to become better. That honey as the yisod is the yisod of tshuva. The tshuva, we know it's hard to change. We look at the honey and we see the ability, just like honey, can take nevela and turn it into, make it kosher. That's why there's a saying in the Medrash. It says, Kol Talmud Chacham, She'ein bodeya nevela tova himanu. Any Talmud Chacham has no deya, no common sense. As you know, as Mark Twain likes to say, unfortunately, common sense ain't so common. He's worse than a nevela. But why the connection to nevela? Like, because that's the pshat. Because nevela you throw into the honey, even nevela could change. But you know, and we use the Talmud Chacham loosely. Any Orthodox Jew or any tradition.
Miss something? If you put
nevela
in honey, it's kosher?
Yeah, that's the we have to, whatever the parameters are.
Wait, what?
You know.
But if you did it, what?
If nevela falls into honey, honey transforms it, and it...
Oh, but in mevatli nisra
v'chatzila. Yeah, you can't do it, but we're not talking about you doing it anyway. As a separate, as a apply if a Gentile does it.
Interesting.
But without even, we don't even know, so therefore... So they point out, so that's the, they specifically say you dip the challah in the honey because you dafka want to show, tonight I'm not staying the same. It's Yom HaDin, and also Rosh Hashanah is the day of Hirur Tshuva. I just have to turn the ship around. I don't have to do a complete Tshuva. I just have to show God I'm heading in the right direction. So we dip the challah in the honey and the apple to show God we're not, no salt tonight. We're not staying the same, we're striving to become better. And in fact, what type of honey do we use? Because we use actually Billy Bee. Well, that's just the push for them. You don't have to use Billy Bee, but you can use, we use bee honey. Honey from bees. Even though normally when the Torah talks about honey, it's Dvash Tamara. It's date honey. Yet the minig is to use bee honey. Why bee honey? If one a nice and sweet New Year, imagine the squeezing the dates, it's all sticky, it's much sweeter. So why do we use bee honey?
It's usually, it's a bug, it's a share.
No, so why do we use it?
Well, yeah. I guess to fit into what you're leading up to.
Exactly, yeah.
To fit into something that he hasn't revealed.
No,
I thought when he was talking about why we use bee honey, I was like, what do you want us to use, wasp honey? Because I came across this random mission that says wasp honey may or may not be kosher.
I
was very surprised to learn that wasps make honey, by the way.
Yeah.
So the Mishnah mentions wasp honey, so I googled it. Apparently there are some species of wasp that make honey. It's a locus and tanaim whether it's kosher.
So why do we use bee honey? So bee honey is because because what's a happy and sweet new year? We know it's nice to, because it's very nice to have date honey. And nice to have date honey, have everything nice and sweet, but that's not reality. We all know in life, you either have, everyone has sorrows, whether it's in Parnassa, whether it's in Shiduchim, Refuah, everyone has, I don't have to go into everyone's daigas. Everyone knows what they are. No shortage of those. Because to say have a happy and sweet new year like date honey, Judaism like dealing in reality. Because imagine the guy, you know how the bee honey comes? The, some guy has to go in by the honeycomb, he puts on his uniform, but some bees sneak underneath, he gets a couple of stings here, and the bees, you can't have the honey without the stings. You know, what's that song in Hebrew? So, that they sing on Yom Yerushalayim? So they point out, so that's, because what's, because people think being sweet is easy come, easy go. That's not meaningful. It's only you, whether it's spiritual or at work, you're working on a big project and finally you finish it, you're working on a masechta, you're working on a, you're practicing your football, whatever you're doing. But what's real simcha is when you work through something hard and then you're successful. You have life is full of challenges. There's no walk through. That's Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, we have challenges. That's what the bee honey represents. You want to know what real joy is? You want to have a happy and sweet new year? It's the bee honey that's reality. That's why, in fact, why apples? Why do we dip the apples in the honey? So on one level, they say as well, because the apples is all, and we usually use sweet apples. So if the apple is all white, but why is it red? Some say red signifies the blood, meaning the bumps. That along the way, a sweet new year, we're gonna get through the white and the apple, but sometimes you have to go through a little difficulty. And that's the ultimate simcha. But why else, but just going back, what is the source of apples? Apples seems to be more than just simanim, because it seems to, the other ones didn't make the Uncle Maishi song, that's my biggest raya. Doesn't say dip the other things in, that we do have other simanim, but apples seems to be more than just in one sim, and it seems to be a major aspect of the night of Rosh Hashanah, major meaning in terms of minhagim. But so a major in terms of people actually, eating them, etc. So actually the first source goes way back. It's very fitting actually. The Vilna Gaon says, what's the connection between apples and Rosh Hashanah? So it goes back to, before that, there's a Tosis, I believe, in Brachas Vamed Zayin, when he quotes about the Bori Nefashos. So when we say Akol Masha Bara, Tosis alludes to talking about apples. So apples is everything. But the Vilna Gaon says, what's an illusion? When Yitzchak went to give the bracha, when Yaakov came in to get the bracha from Yitzchak, so he said his clothes, which were from Adam Harishon, smelled from the orchard. With the Mefarshim say it was the orchards of apples. And basically it was the aroma like of Gan Eden, because that's where Adam was. So basically, kind of like Rosh Hashanah is the day Adam got thrown out of Gan Eden. So to speak, we have the apples to say that that's how we're going to get back. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, that's the connection. They say that the Medrash says that the day Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yaakov was Rosh Hashanah. Yehi Hayom, that's the connection to apples and Rosh Hashanah. But perhaps also as well, at a more pragmatic level, apples are, so to speak, have it all. In other words, different fruits like taste good, they don't look good. Apples have a good fragrance, a good look, good texture. So they're nice and sweet. So they go through the different things about an apple. So therefore, many of us, we tried our best, and many might think, I've had a good year. Who has to improve? Could I do any better? And we dafka take the apple, which so to speak has it all, and we dip you in the honey, and so you can even become sweeter. You take the apple and the honey, you can even become better. And that's the concept. And in fact, we do, in fact, I don't think Tim Cook or Steve Jobs, who was Jewish, but they have a minig Yisrael that every year, usually in the month of Elul, they come out with a new Apple iPhone. And to them, Apple iPhone's the best phone in the world. And yet every year they come out and look for improvements. A new battery life, we make the camera better. And of course, if there was free, everyone would get an upgrade every year. The good news is, our upgrade, well, you have to pay for the Apple, but the upgrade is free. We look at the Apple, dip it in the honey, and we see, wow, how much we could improve, and we make a reflection. And in fact, that's what they point out as well. If you notice, that the Russian, then I guess that's where it comes, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, or, you know, how does it, an apple on Rosh Hashanah, you know, however the phrase will go, gets us to Gan Eden, I don't know. But, so either way, so therefore the concept of the apple, of, and in fact, that explains as well, because we said, we had an interesting debate to begin this year about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether it's better to be created. So if you look carefully at the Russian, it doesn't say better, it says Noach lo. So everyone would agree, it might be more pleasant never to be born. You never would have the challenges, but it's not better. As we say, even though once we're born, so we have the ability to go ahead at, you know, and turn all the averes into mitzvahs. So to summarize, so we had a machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, 2.5 hour, 2.5 year. 2.5 year machlokas about whether better to be created or not. So what's the argument for Beis Shammai? Because the odds are against us. Not a good investment. 365 negative, 248 positive. But Beis Hillel says, no, by tshuva. Tshuva me'ava, we have the ability to turn our averes into skuyas, like bitu barov, like b'nei yisoskar. We're going to share the soup when there's no higher level, when something is usher, turns in, and you turn it into isser, into heter. And that's the whole yisod of honey. No salt tonight. Honey has the ability to transform. And that's why we have the apple as well. And that's why we have the bee honey, to show that it's easy come, easy go. You have to work hard to get the ultimate simcha. The apple goes back to Gan Eden, and the apple shows also the red little bumps along the way to get to the simcha. But as well, we get the free apple upgrade every year. We have the ability, without any cost, to go ahead and work, rejuvenate our own batteries and rejuvenate everything else. And as well, and that could be the yisod as well. It seems very strange, the night of Rosh Hashanah, bee honey? Bee honey, like, it should be usher, because we have a principle, yotzi min usher. And in fact, the Gemara has to go through has to quote the pasuk, gzeiras hakasuv, erez zavas chalav udvash. If the land of Israel is praised with honey, it must be it's kosher. But it's a very difficult Gemara, but that's the conclusion. You would think, but on Rosh Hashanah, we want to stay far away from bee honey. We should dafka use day honey, but no. Because the highest level is Isser Nefach Lehetu. We want to show that even someone who is involved in sin, or maybe we got a little distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which reminds me of that Elul. The name could seem very strange, Elul. Like, everyone makes the drush, Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. But last I checked, it's an Aramaic. It comes from Babylonian.
Akkadian.
Yeah. So I don't get, it's like saying, you know, let's take the name Johnny. Well, let's, J for the, well, let's take the name Lisa. Like, I make a drusha on an English name. So what kind of joke? Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. What's the pshat? So that's what the Mepharshim explained is, no, Ria, because people think it comes from Shir HaShirim. All right, it does. But people think it's about some big love story. But Perek Shishi, where it comes from, it's the opposite. It's about a couple who got into a little fight, argument, and they become very distant. And Rashi says, it's talking about the Beis HaMikdash, about the beginning of Binyan Bayish. God saying, where is everybody? I know we've become distant the past 70 years. But where is my loved ones? Where is Klal Yisrael? And that's when they took the months from when they went back to build the Bayis Sheni. It's about someone who became distant and wanted to get close. That's what Elul is all about. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. If perhaps we got distant over the year, now's our chance. God's opening us up with the honeys and the apples to bring us in. And that's why specifically we take the honey, which comes from non-kosher source, to say, no matter how far, we could always come back. And in fact, that's what the Chafetz Chaim says, that Torah, He's just quoting. He's not saying this. He's quoting the pasuk. The Torah is even sweeter than honey. So what's the pshat? Torah is even sweeter than honey because honey, we said, has the ability to transform itself. But as Gemara said, if it's a beria, if it's a full piece of meat, then you can't. The honey won't nullify it. However, he says Talmud Torah, tshuva, that has the ability, even if some a whole beria, you could take a whole person who is Isser Nefach Leheter, got little distant, he could come back. And that's the concept. That's why the night of Rosh Hashanah, we can learn a lot from the Minhagim of to think, we have a lot to think about when we're dipping the apple in the honey and the challah in the honey, to think of the power of tshuva and the power of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, that's why, you know, that's what we'll have in mind, is Rosh Hashanah is a day of hirur tshuva, as to conclude with the parable, they point out that an orphan, someone's on a boat, and he looks around, he looks like, this looks like new to me, and he takes out his compass, and he sees, instead of going 300 miles east, he went 300 miles west. So what's the first thing the captain has to do? He's got to turn the ship around. I mean, he still has 600 miles to go. It's a long way back. That's all we have to do on Rosh Hashanah, is we have to turn the ship around, and that's what we do, looking at the honey, at the apple, that God's opening us up. And as Beis Hillel pointed out, you know, the odds are with us. No matter, you know, what we did, we have the opportunity, you know, to make this, you know, a special Shana Tovah Mesukah. Yeah.